Sanskritam Tato Jaya Mudirayat. Before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is our very means of conquest, we should offer our respectful obeisances unto the personality of Godhead, Lord Narayan, unto Nara Narayan Rishi, the supremest human being, unto Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, and unto Srila Vyasadeva, the author. This morning, we continue in Canto 3, Chapter 5, Vidura's Talks with Maitreya. Now we're on text number 3, which is a very well-known verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. Of this text is Janasya. The root word is Jana. So Jana means people.
První slovo v tomto verši je Janasya, kořen je Jana, co znamená lidé.
And the last word of this verse is Janardanasya, the root word being Janardan, which is a name of the Supreme Lord.
A poslední slovo v verši je Janardanasya, a Janardan je jméno nejvyššího pána.
So, the original position of everyone is to be the Jana of Janardan, means to be a follower of Lord Janardan, Lord Krishna.
Původní postavení každého je být Jana, pána Krishna, být následovník Janardana.
Srila Prabhupada in the first sentence of the purport writes, to be obedient to the wishes of the Supreme Lord is the natural position of every living entity.
První větě významně říká, být poslušným přáním nejvyššího pána je přirozené postavení každé živé bytosti.
In his song Gopinath, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur states, Ami tu tomara jana. O Gopinath, I am actually your jana. I am actually your man. I am actually a follower of you. That is my real position.
Bhaktivinoda Thakur v písni Gopinath říká, O Gopinath, jsem tvůj člověk. Jsem tvůj jana, následovník tvých pokynů.
But tomara chodia, I have turned my back on you.
Ale obrátil jsem se k tobě zády.
Here we find in this verse Krishnad vimukhasya. That means to turn one's face against the Supreme Lord Krishna.
To verši jsou slova Krishna vimukhasya, což znamená ten, kdo odvrátí svůj tvář od nejvyššího pána Krishny.
So, if we turn our face away from Krishna, then what are we facing?
Když odvracíme svůj tvář od Krishny, tak na co se díváme?
It is our position to worship Krishna, but if we turn away from him, then what shall we worship?
Naše povinnost je uctívat Krishnu, ale když se od něj odvrátíme, tak co budeme uctívat místo toho?
Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Sangsara bhajinu. I have given up your worship, and now I worship the material world. I worship Maya.
Bhaktivinoda Thakur říká, přestal jsem uctívat tebe a uctívám místo toho Maju, hmotnou energii.
And thus, bhulya apana dhana. Thus, I have fallen down. I have forgotten you.
Proto jsem poklesl a zapomněl jsem na tebe.
So to forget Krishna, here's another word from text 3, sudukitasya. To forget Krishna means to become always unhappy.
Zapomenout na Krishnu znamená být pořád nešťastný.
Krishna is always happy.
Krishna je vždycky šťastný.
That is his nature, sat chit ananda. And his activities are called in shastra lila. Lila means pleasure pastimes.
Krishna je přirozeně vždycky šťastný, sat chit ananda, a jeho činnosti se nazývají šastrach, líla, nebo zábavy.
For instance, even the lila of the creation, or let us put it this way, even the activity of the creation, maintenance, and also destruction of this material world is for Krishna lila. It is his pleasure pastime.
Dokonce i činnosti spojené se stvořením, udržováním a zničením hmotného světa jsou pro Krishnu zábava, radost.
That is a statement of Srimad Bhagavatam, Vishvod Bhava Shtiti Laishu Nimitta Lila Rashaya. That as the Lord is manifesting the Vishva, the universe, maintaining it and also destroying it, he is enjoying rasa. He's simply enjoying transcendental happiness.
Řečeno v Bhagavatamu, že když pán tvoří, udržuje a ničí hmotný svět, tak přitom užívá transcendentální štěstí, rasu.
And as I said, we are Jana, you see. We are the Jana of Janardan. That means we always follow Krishna. So Krishna in this activity of manifesting this material world, he is accompanied by his jana. His jana are there, the living entities are there. But we are not enjoying lila. Huh? We are entrapped in karma. That is our way of participating in this cosmic manifestation.
My jsme lidé Janardany, Jana, a doprovázíme pána i při tom tvoření hmotného světa, ale my neužíváme zábavu, ale jsme zapleteni v karmě.
So, why is it that we are in this position of being karmis instead of lilies?
Proč jsme teda v postavení karmi místo v postavení lila?
That is because, simple point, tomara chadiya, we forgot Krishna.
To je jednoduchého důvodu, protože jsme zapomněli na Krishna.
And because of forgetting Krishna, we engaged in karma. Prabhupada in this translate, in this purport, he uses the word in the second sentence, misdeeds. He says, but do only to pass misdeeds, a living entity becomes adverse to the sense of subordination to the Lord and suffers all the miseries of material existence.
Když jsme zapomněli na Krišnu, začali jsme vykonávat karmu a Šrila Prabhupád, který označuje kvůli svým minulým přečinům, tak živá bytost získává nechuť pocitu podřízenosti pánu a proto trpí všemožným strádáním v hmotné existenci.
So because, first, forgetting Krishna, then engaging in misdeeds or karma, then one becomes, instead of a follower of Janardana, he actually becomes an opponent. That mean, what does that mean? If one is opposed to Janardana, it means demon.
Z téhle důvodu, nejdřív zapomene na Krišnu a potom se zaměstnává různými špatnými činnostmi, tak místo následovníka Krišny se stává jeho oponent, a to znamená démon.
There is a relationship between the word demon and the word demonstrate.
Je vztah mezi slovem démon a demonstrovat.
A demon is one who wants to always demonstrate his independence. He wants to demonstrate that he is the supreme.
Démon vždycky demonstruje svou nezávislost a vždycky chce ukázat, že on je nejvyšší.
So that is the business of all the conditioned souls in this material world.
A to dělají všechny podmíněné duše v tomhle světě.
Trying to demonstrate, I am God, and therefore they're called demons.
Snaží se demonstrovat, já jsem Bůh, a proto se jim říká démoni.
And because of this demonstration, sudukitasya, they have to suffer.
Kvůli tomu svému demonstrování musí trpět.
They are, as explained by Srila Prabhupada, they have given up the sense of subordination. But they come under Maya's control, Maya Devi's control. And so she beats their heads down. Oh, you don't want to bow down to Janardhan? Bam! Put that head down. Bam, bam,
bam. Prabhupada říká, že se přestali, chtějí se nebýt podřízení pánovi, ale musí se podřídit Maje. A to jim říká, když se nechceš klanět pánovi, tak já ti pomůžu a bije po hlavě.
Now Sri Krishna is always reminding us, for instance in Bhagavad Gita, he's reminding us even in this material existence, because as I said, this is simply his lila. This is the fact that this material manifestation is simply another lila of Krishna. So Krishna, he's reminding us that in Bhagavad Gita, that I am the taste of water, I am the light of the sun and the moon. I am everything. Yeah. You are still connected to me. But because of this rascaldom, we have developed a separate mentality. In Bhagavatam, the term Bheda Buddhi is used. Buddhi, as you may know, means intelligence. Bheda means separate or distinct. So pure intelligence means when one, for instance, drinks water, he thinks, this is Krishna.
Čistá inteligence znamená, když člověk pije vodu, tak si myslí, to je Krishna.
Impure intelligence, bheda buddhi, means when one drinks water, one thinks, this is not Krishna.
Čistá inteligence, bheda buddhi, znamená, když pije vodu, tak si myslí, to není Krishna.
This is water, which is meant for me to enjoy.
To je voda, která je určená pro můj požitek.
So, this is the, yes, the mentality of one who has forgotten Krishna, and not only that, he wants to not remember Krishna at any time. And this is the cause of adharma, you find in this verse, second line. Adharma shilasya. To engage in irreligion. Or as Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Sangsara Bhaijinu, to worship the material energy. To take the material energy as the source of my happiness. I will enjoy this water, I will enjoy this food, I will enjoy this beautiful woman. Sangsara bhaijinu. To worship the material energy, to become devoted to Maya. This is adharma, this is irreligion. So, as Sri Prahlad Maharaj says in 7th canto, Durasya ye bahir manina. Durasya hi ye bahir manina. He describes this process as to impose a false artha. Artha means value. Impose a false value on the material energy.
Prahlad Maharaj v 7. zpěvu Bhagavatam tento proces popisuje jako dávat nepravou hodnotu hmotné energii.
That is material consciousness in a very simple explanation.
To je jednoduše vysvětlené hmotné vědomí.
That is summing up the mentality of all karmis. This karmi civilization is simply based on false values. They have taken this world as being their own to control and enjoy. And they impose on this world so many concocted value systems in the name of politics or some mundane religion, also some mundane philosophy, economic development, so many things.
Přikládají tomuhle světu spoustu smyšlených hodnot v podobě politických ideálů nebo nějakých světských náboženství nebo filozofií.
As Prabhupada writes in the purport, all fruitive activity, empirical philosophy, and mysticism are more or less against the sense of subordination to the Lord. And any living entity engaged in such rebellious activity is more or less condemned by the laws of material nature, which work under the subordination of the Lord.
Veškerá plodonosná činnost, empirická filozofie a mysticismus stojí více či méně proti pocitu podřízenosti pánu a každá živá bytost zaměstnaná v těchto vzpůrných činnostech je více či méně odsouzená zákony hmotné přírody, které fungují pod nadvládou pána.
So fruitive activity in all of its different forms, this is simply a false value, as is empirical philosophy in all of its different forms, and even mysticism. Mysticism, which does not culminate in pure devotional service to Krishna, all of this are simply concoctions of the mind, which the demons, who want to demonstrate their independence from God, they impose this on the material nature, and thus in this way they invent so many forms of adharma.
Všechny druhy plodonosné činnosti, empirické filozofie nebo mysticismu, který nevede k oddané službě pánu, jsou jenom vymyšlené, nepravé hodnoty, které vedou k adharmě.
Na te vidu svarta gatim hi vishnum, as Prahlad Maharaj says, they cannot see that the supreme goal of life is Lord Vishnu, Lord Krishna. They have concocted other goals. And thus, they have become andha. This word Prahlad Maharaj uses, it means blind. They have become andha. Andha yatandayat upaniyamana. They have become blind fools, shuffling along, just like blind men in a line. They will shuffle along with hand on the next one's shoulder. One blind man following another.
Tak se z nich stali, jak říká Prahlád Maharaj, slepí blázni, kteří jdou v řadě. Jeden má ruku na rameni druhýho a tak následuje jeden slepý druhýho.
Te píše tantran urudhamni bardha. In this way, shuffling along blindly, they fall into the ditch. And they are bound up ever tighter by material nature. So, this blindness, again, it means to impose one's own false values on things, these false values being concocted out of this Veda Bhuti, out of this conviction that I am independent, I am separate from Krishna.
Tahle slepota znamená přikládat věcem nepravé myšlené hodnoty, které plynou z té avuha, z té inteligence, že já jsem oddělený od Krishna.
And there's a very subtle cause to all this.
Všechno má velice jemnou příčinu.
That's illustrated in the story of one disciple of a spiritual master who went to his spiritual master and asked him for a means by which he could become very advanced and become known as a great sadhu, great saintly person.
To je popsáno na takovém příběhu, když žák přišel za svým duchovním učitelem a žádal po něm nějaký způsob, jak by vlastně mohl být pokročilý a známý sadhu.
So this disciple, although he had proper guru, he was a bit proud.
Tenhle žák měl sice dobrého guru, ale byl trochu pyšný.
So this is an important point to note, because as already explained, we are all originally the janas of Janarda. That is our actual position. We are all followers of the Supreme Lord. So the question is, how did we turn away from him? So that is illustrated in this story I'm about to tell.
Naše původní postavení je, že všichni jsme následovníci pána, jak jsme se tady od něj mohli odvrátit, je popsané tady na tom příkladu.
So the spiritual master said, well, if you want to become quickly advanced, then do as I say. You just leave material society altogether, go up the mountainside and enter a cave and read Bhagavad Gita. Make that your only activity.
Chceš dosáhnout rychlého pokroku, tak dělej, co ti říkám. Opust úplně celou hmotnou společnost, odejdi do jeskyně v horách a čti Bhagavad Gita jako svou jedinou činnost.
So, the disciple very enthusiastically carried out these instructions.
Žák nadšeně vykonával tyhle pokyny.
So, in the cave, he began to read Bhagavad Gita. But there was also one mouse living in the cave. So at night, as the disciple was taking rest, the mouse would come out and chew on the edges of the pages of Bhagavad Gita.
Začal v jeskyni číst Bhagavad Gita, ale žila tam taky jedna myš, která v noci vždycky přišla a okousávala mu stránky z těch Bhagavad Gita.
So the disciple thought, well, I have to do something about this. So he went down from the mountainside to a nearby village and he begged for one cat.
Ten žák si říkal, s tím musím něco udělat, sestoupil z hor do blízké vesnice a musím sehnat nějakou kočku.
And he brought the cat back to stay in the cave to frighten away the mouse. But there was nothing for the cat to eat.
Kočka neměla co jíst.
So the cat began to meow.
Začala mňoukat.
So then the next day, the young man went down to the village and he begged the cow.
Další den ten mladý muž sešel do vesnice a poprosil o krávu.
And he brought the cow up the mountain.
Přivezl si nahor krávu.
So he could milk the cow to give to the cat.
Tam jí dojil, aby mohl dát mlíko kočce.
But then he had to take care of the cow.
A pak se musel starat ještě o krávu.
So the next day he went down and begged some wood and brought the wood up with great labor and constructed a cow shed.
Zase se šel do vesnice, vybral nějaké dříví a pracně tam donesl to dříví do hor a postavil stáj pro tu krávu.
And he realized, even after building the cow shed, that he required help in maintaining the cow. So he went down and he found a cowherd boy in the village who agreed to come every day to mind the cow. But the cowherd boy said, you have to feed me. I need 3 meals a day.
Si uvědomil, že bude potřebovat pomoc a sehnal ve vesnici mladého pasáčka krav, který souhlasil, že bude pomáhat s krávou, ale řekl mu, že potřebuje 3x denně jídlo.
So that meant that every day the disciple had to go down to the village and go from door to door and beg dal and rice to cook three times a day for the boy who's taking care of the cow. So the people in the village, they became very soon annoyed. They said, "What are you doing? You've entered that cave to become completely renounced, but we see that you're establishing a household up there." So, you can't live off of us if you're going to maintain all these possessions up there.
Nemůžeš žít na nás, na náš účet a tak si tam udržovat všechno tohle svoje vlastnictví.
So they said, "Why don't you just get married and live like an honest householder?"
Řekneme, tak proč se radši neoženíš a nežiješ jako čestný hospodář?
So then he thought about that. All right, yeah, I guess I should do that.
Tak a tam přemýšlel, asi bych to měl udělat.
And so later on, when his guru came to visit him, the guru went up the mountainside, looked in the cave, and saw the cave was empty. And then he went down to the village to inquire, "Where is my disciple?" And they gave him the address. They said, "Oh yeah, you'll find such and such address on such and such road. Look for the big farm there." So he went there, he saw a great estate, a big farmhouse, a big barn, many animals, there were children playing, so much opulence.
Tam byl velký statek, velký obytný dům a stodolí a děti si tam hráli a spousta zvířat, všude mnoho bohatství.
And as the guru came up to the house, he saw his disciple sitting on a chair in the veranda, reading the newspaper.
Guru vešel do domu a viděl, jak jeho žák sedí na verandě v křesle a čte si noviny.
And the guru said, "What are you doing? I told you to simply read Bhagavad Gita."
Říkal, co to děláš? Jsem ti řekl, aby si četl jenom Bhagavad Gita.
And the disciple was very embarrassed. He said, "Oh, Guru Maharaj, no, all of this I require. I need this to read the Gita." So, this is a nice illustration of how entanglement in material nature creeps up very subtly, without our noticing it. And step by step entangles us more and more and more, and also covers our intelligence more and more so that we can't see what's happening.
To je příklad, jak se vkrádá hodné zapletení jemným způsobem, že si to ani nevšimneme, a čím dál víc nás zakrývá, zapléta.
So that in the end, one becomes adharmi. One becomes engaged in all irreligious things, but is still thinking like the disciple. He was completely deviated from the order of his guru. But when his guru said, "What are you doing?" he had some ready excuse. Oh, yeah. This is all facility for reading Gita. Ah, then why are you reading newspaper?
Takhle se člověka stává adharmi, stejně jako ten žák se úplně vychýlil od pokynu svého guru, ale pořád měl tu výmluvu, že to všechno potřebuje k své odané, k tomu čtení Bhagavad Gita, ale proč tedy čteš noviny?
This is actually technically demon again, because in the 16th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, "Pavritim cha, nivrittim cha," that the demons, they don't know the difference between religion and irreligion. They think that that which is adharma is actually dharma.
Takhle se s ním vlastně stal démon, jak je v 16. kapitole Bhagavad Gita právě Chandrakirti říká, že démoni nevědí vlastně rozdíl mezi náboženstvím a bezbožností.
And this again is a result of concocting in the mind false values and imposing them one by one on the world until one is completely lost in illusion.
A to je zase výsledek toho, jak si vymýšlejí nějaké hodnoty, falešné hodnoty přidávají hmotnému světu a takhle podléhají lidi.
So the cause for this process is pride. That is explained in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Smaya Sangas. Is that Smaya Sangas Madais Tava? It's describing the process of degradation. So Sangha means illicit sex. Madais means intoxication. So Smaya Sangha Madais Tava. This verse is explaining how these things happen one after the other, how one falls down into illicit sex and intoxication. But the first word is smaya. Smaya means pride. So pride comes first, and then the other things follow.
Bhagavatam popisuje ten proces poklesnutí do nedovoleného sexu a intoxikace, ale prvním slovem v tom verši je smaya, což znamená pícha.
So, by the influence of pride, one wants to imitate rather than serve sincerely. Just like this disciple, he asked his guru, how can I become quickly advanced? Because, why? Because he wanted to imitate his guru. I want to also be known as great sadhu.
Pod vlivem píchy chce člověk napodobovat místo, aby chtěl upřímně sloužit, stejně jako ten žák se chtěl stát velkým sádhujem a chtěl napodobovat svého guru.
And we are the jana, we are the followers of Janardhan. How did we fall down into illusion? Same thing. Rather than sincerely serving Lord Janardhan, we wanted to imitate him.
Jana následovníci Janardhany a jak jsme poklesli stejným způsobem, že místo, aby jsme mu upřímně sloužili, tak jsme ho chtěli napodobovat.
And so by this pride, one step by step becomes engaged in adharma, irreligious activities.
A díky téhle píše, člověk postupně začíná zaměstnávat adharmou bezbožnými činnosti.
So, one has to return to the sane position. So that means, first of all, to admit that it's my fault that I've fallen down here into this material existence. As Bhaktivinoda Thakur is admitting in his song, Tomara Chadiya, it was I who turned away from you. The demons go so far as to proclaim that it was God who turned away from us. This again is this concocting false values. Why is the world so full of suffering? God has abandoned us. So if he rejects us, we will reject him. There is no God. God is dead.
Proč je ve světě tolik utrpení? Protože Bůh nás zavrhl. A když on nás zavrhl, tak my zavrhneme jeho. Žádný Bůh neexistuje.
See, by maintaining this pride, one becomes offensive.
Když člověk pěstuje tuhle píchu, tak dělá přestup.
So that when even, because the purpose of the purpose of this verse is to glorify the great souls who come to this world to deliver the foolish conditioned living entities. But even such a great soul comes, if we are maintaining this pride, then we will offend him.
oslavuje velké duše, které putují po světě, aby osvobozovali pokleslé duše, ale pokud my si udržujeme svoji píchu, tak můžeme urazit tyhle.
Na loku vera and money griever, drunken sense enjoyers in heaven, when Narada Muni came, they were so proud of their position, so foolish by intoxication, illicit sex and so on. They neglected to show any respect to Narada Muni, so they were condemned.
Nalaku a Manigriva, požitkáři na nebeských planetách, byli tak poblázněni, pyšní na svoje postavení a zmatení, intoxikací a nedovoleným sexem. Když tam přišel Narada Muni, tak mu neprokázali vůbec žádnou úct a byli proto odsouzeni.
Those who insist on maintaining this prideful attitude, they will be cheated by Maya.
Ti, kteří si chtějí udržovat tu svoji píchu, tak ty podvede Maya.
As is seen in villages in Bengal, Bangladesh, there is of course the tradition of Lord Chaitanya's movement there, but it has become perverted.
Viděli jsme ve bengalských vesnicích v Bangladeši, že tam existuje ta tradice pána Chaitanyi, ale byla zkroucená.
So people, low-class people, who do not want to change their sinful habits, they try to incorporate the teachings of Lord Chaitanya into their own false understanding of life.
Jistí lidé, kteří nechtějí zanechat svých hříšných zvyků, tak si chtějí přizpůsobit učení pána Chaitanyi ke svým životu.
This is the same point, imposing false values, even on the teachings of Lord Chaitanya and his pure devotees.
A to je zase stejná věc, přidávání nepravých hodnot dokonce i učení pána Chaitanyi a jeho následování.
So in this way, these apasampradayas, these deviated sampradayas, they come into existence.
Tímhle způsobem začínají existovat tyhle odchylené sampradaje.
And again, the cause of this is pride.
Zase to má původ v píše.
There is some preacher, so-called preacher of Sankirtan, who wants to become honored by others. And there are also foolish people who want themselves to be known as being very pious, very advanced religious persons.
Pak tam jsou pošetilí lidé, kteří chtějí, aby oni byli známi jako velice zbožní a pokročilí lidé.
So Maya Devi brings the two together.
Maya Devi je svede dohromady.
She sends the bogus preacher to the village of bogus followers.
Falešného kazatele do vesnice falešných následovníků.
And it is seen, it can actually be seen, how much foolishness is generated out of such relationship. It is actually laughable, but they can't see.
Můžeme vidět, kolik pošetilostí vlastně to je směšné pochází z tohohle vztahu, ale oni to nevidí.
The bogus preacher, first of all, he's honored as a great sadhu by the foolish people. Although he's eating fish, he's smoking cigarettes. That simply means that they will offer him, you see, with great devotion, a plate full of fish, cigarettes. Please, Sadhuji, take this.
znamená, že mu s velkou oddaností nabízejí talíř rýb a cigaret a sážení, prosím, vezde si.
So in this way, his fame increases, as being a great preacher, a great saintly person, and simultaneously the fame of these villagers as his followers, that also increases. They proudly go around, oh, I am disciple of so-and-so sadhu.
Tak vzrůstá jeho sláva jako velkého kazatele a taky vzrůstá sláva těch vesničanů, kteří chodí píše, já jsem čák tady toho sadhu.
Then, after a while, there is need for the fame to increase.
Za nějakou dobu je potřeba, aby se ta sláva ještě zvětšovala.
So the villagers have a meeting, and then when Saduji comes again to their village, they tell him, Saduji, we think now it is time for you to become avatar, incarnation of God. You have been sadhu for long enough.
Vesničané mají setkání a když tam přijde zase sadhu, tak mu říkají, tak myslíme, že už je čas, aby se stal avatar, už jste byl sadhu dost dlouho.
And then they will, when they offer the plate of fish to him, they will put tulsi leaves on top. Because now he is avatar. He is incarnation of Godhead, so he may take the tulsi leaves. But this is not... this is not the subject matter of this morning's verse. Janasya Krishna Vimukasya Daiva Dadharma Shilasya Sadukitasya Anugrahaina Charantinunam Bhutani Bhavyani Janardanasya. The actual Bhavyani, Bhavyani means the great merciful souls, the pure devotees. They come to turn people away from this nonsense and engage them again in the devotional service of the Supreme Lord.
No, v tomhle verši se mluví o bhavyani, velkých dobročinných duších, o čistých oddaných, kteří dokáží odvést lidi od nesmyslných činností a zaměstnat je v oddané službě Pánu.
They don't come here to become famous.
Oni nepřicházejí, aby byli slavní.
They don't come here to flatter people, make them feel important.
Nepřicházejí lichotit lidem, aby si lidé mohli o sobě myslet, že jsou důležití.
They come to teach Bhagavad Gita as it is, as Prabhupada said. Bhagavad Gita as it is, not Bhagavad Gita as we are.
Přicházejí učit Bhagavad Gita takovou, jaká je, ne jak Prabhupada říkal, Bhagavad Gita takovou, jakou, jaká je, jaký jsme my.
Bhagavad Gita as it is means to cut through all this demonstrative maya. There's nothing to demonstrate that I am great, I am important, I am this, I am that. This is all maya.
Bhagavad Gita taková, jaká je, znamená odstranit všechno tuhle máju. Nemáme co demonstrovat, já jsem velký nebo důležitý. To je maya.
So the great souls, those are actually great. Why are they great? Because they are followers of the great. They are the jana of Janardan. So they come out of, as it says here, anugraha. Anugraha means great compassion.
Skutečně velké duše, které jsou velké, protože následují velkého, jsou lidé Janardan, následující Janardany, tak přicházejí ze soucitu anugraha.
Feeling such profound sympathy for these foolish souls who have fallen into the ditch of illusion. They come to lift them out.
Cítí hluboké sympatie s těmi pošetilými lidmi, kteří spadli do jámy iluze a chtějí je vytáhnout ven.
To get out of that pit of illusion requires us to give up our pride, give up this bheda buddhi, this concocted independence.
Abychom se dostali z té jámy, tak se musíme zdát svoji píchy, svoje bheda buddhi, svoje smyšlené inteligence.
So this verse spoken by Vidura is nicely expressing the attitude of humility that must be there for one to properly take help from Krishna's representative.
Vidura v tomhle verši pěkně vyjádřil pokorný postoj, který musíme mít, aby jsme mohli přijímat pomoc.
Admitting that because I turned away from Krishna, therefore I've fallen down into this suffering condition. So now I must turn back. And the pure devotee has come to show me the way.
Musíme přijímat, já jsem se odvrátil od Krišny a proto jsem spadl do toho utrpení. A teď se musíme zase otočit zpátky ke Krišnovi a přijmout čistého oddaného, který ukáže cestu.
So are there any questions? Yes.
There's also a so-called sadhu, Panchvarnanda, coming to Czechoslovakia, and he recommends his disciple to read Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita. So can they also make some progress under this direction of Mayavada Guru?
They will certainly make advancement. But not by following, what's his name? Maheshwarananda. Maya is also, Maya's devotee.
Maya je oddaný.
So her desire is also that everyone surrender to Krishna. So she has her special tricks too. In fact, Srila Prabhupada once said, in this age, sometimes you have to put nectar in a bottle labeled poison, and only then will people drink it.
Prabhupada říkal, že v tomhle věku musíte někdy dát nektar do láhve, která má nálepku jed, a potom to teprve budou lidi pít.
This is not the credit of Maheshwarananda. This is the credit of Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement.
Že existuje díl, který má 18 000 veršů a poukazuje takhle na to. A já tomu nerozumím právě z toho důvodu, že vlastně, když Šíla Vyasadeva se stával Purány, tak vlastně ještě Šíla Vláda na to neexistuje.
You can understand that in the purport to the first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada, he writes as a proof that Bhagavatam is authentic. That there are mentions in the old this Matsya Purana, but when Vyasadeva wrote these old Puranas, he didn't know about Srimad Bhagavatam.
Bhagavatam is eternal.
Bhagavatam je věčný.
The Puranic literatures are also eternal.
A Purány jsou také věčné.
So, Srila Vyasadeva is the, what is the word? Conduit, I don't know if you know this word. He's the channel through which this eternal knowledge manifests in this world. Just like Lord Brahma is the channel through which the original Vedic literatures manifest in this universe. So, the Vedas, all this transcendental sound vibration, it is the sound of the breathing of Lord Mahavishnu.
Všechny Vedy jsou zvuk dýchání Mahavishnu.
So Lord Mahavishnu is fully potent personality of Godhead. So his breathing conveys absolute knowledge, fully potent, with transcendental knowledge.
Mahavishnu je plně potentní osobnost božství a jeho dýchání obsahuje transcendentální poznání plně mocné.
And this transcendental sound vibration, Shabda Brahman, it is there in the Akash, in the ether.
Tahle transcendentální zvuková vibrace existuje v éteru.
So only one who is in pure consciousness can hear, can receive this Shabda Brahman, sound vibration.
A tuhle zvukovou vibraci může přijímat jen ten, kdo má čisté vědomí.
So the sound vibration, Shabda Brahman, then manifests from the lips of Brahma, and also 5,000 years ago it manifested through Vyasadev. He wrote it all down.
Ta zvuková vibrace se projevuje z úst Brahmy a potom před 5000 lety je Vyasadev sepsal.
Now that doesn't necessarily mean that Brahma or Vyasadev, as this knowledge is passing through them, that they have total realization at every moment of the message.
To neznamená, když skrze Brahmu a Vyasadeva prochází tohle poznání, tak oni nemusí mít plnou realizaci toho poselství.
They are channels.
Jsou jen kanály.
So, but they may have to be enlighten themselves about the full meaning of the text.
Oni sami mohou být osvíceni o plném významu textu.
Therefore, Narada Muni came to Srila Vyasadev and pointed out that your work is not done. You have still not focused specifically on the glories of the personality of Godhead.
Proto Narada Muni přišel za Vyasadevem a říkal mu, tvoje práce ještě neskončila, ještě se nezaměřil výhradně na činnosti osobnosti božství.
So Vyasadev, he, although, as you have pointed out, in the Puranas that came through him before, there was indication of this Mahapurana, Srimad Bhagavatam, it's also called the Amal Purana, spotless Purana, that this is the culmination. But he himself didn't have realization of that.
Už skrze Vyasadeva už předtím v Puránách prošly ty náznaky o Amala Mahapuráně, čisté Puráně, ale Vyasadeva sám neměl tu realizaci.
So he thought his work was done, but yet at the same time he felt dissatisfied.
Myslel si, že už jeho práce skončila, ale ještě se cítil nespokojen.
So Narada Muni appeared and said, there is one more book that you have to write.
A toto se zjevil Narada Muni a říkal mu, ještě jednu knižku musíš napsat.
That is the Srimad Bhagavatam.
Bhagavatam.
So then being inspired by his spiritual master, then that knowledge manifested through him also.
You mentioned in the story that the disciple disobeyed the instruction of his spiritual master, but he didn't do it knowingly. And he asked what the actual cause of his...
I explained the cause was his pride. So when there is some impurity, Maya imperceptibly, step by step, she exploits that impurity.
Je nějaká nečistota, tak má ji postupně začne vytahovat.
And step by step, one becomes covered over by Maya, and is still thinking everything's all right.
A postupně se člověk stává zakrytý Majou a pořád si myslí, že všechno v pořádku.
Until the end, he's totally fallen down, but he's still thinking, I'm okay.
Na konci je úplně poklesný, ale pořád si myslí, já jsem v pořádku.
You understand? Yes?
hair to fall down. So what is the actual benefit of that?
You understood his question?
What is the actual
benefit? He's asking what the benefit is for demons who are killed by the Lord, who attain impersonal liberation, because they will have to fall down again anyway.
Co je dobré na tom, že démoni získají neosobní osvobození, když musí zase spadnout dolů.
So the advantage is very great.
Ale to má velkou výhodu.
Because attaining even impersonal liberation means that all the fruitive reactions of before, all the karma, is nullified.
Protože dosáhnout i neosobního osvobození znamená, že veškerá minulá karma, všechny plodonosné činnosti jsou vygumovány.
So even when they do fall down into the material world again, it won't be as a demon.
Takže když zase poklesnou do hmotného světa zpátky, tak nebudou démoni.
It could be as Lord Brahma.
Možná z nich bude pán Brahma.
They're coming out of the Brahman. So they will attain in their initial appearance again a very high position. And there they will have the opportunity to at least the opportunity will be there to engage in devotional service.
Přicházejí z Brahmanu, tak dosáhnou vznešené postavení a budou mít alespoň příležitost k rané službě.
Whether they take that opportunity, that is again up to the minute independence of the living entity.
Záleží zase na nepatrné nezávislosti živé bytosti, jestli přijmou tu možnost nebo ne.
Well, the question about Mayavadis is, do they actually attain that liberation?
Je otázka, jestli Mayavadi vůbec dosahují toho osvobození.
Generally, Mayavadis do not. They're, at least we can say, the process they follow, the philosophy they follow, will not lead them to genuine, even the genuine realization of impersonal Brahman.
Můžeme říct, že jejich proces je nepovede ani k pravé realizaci neosobního Brahman.
Because their philosophy is offensive. Mayavadhi aparadhi, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has said. And if one is offensive, then one is actually cultivating material desires in the heart. So then one cannot get free of this material existence.
Se nemůže osvobodit z hmotné existence.
Of course, if one follows the impersonal path, that's called Brahmavadi path.
Pokud někdo jde po neosobní cestě Brahmavadi,
then one can attain impersonal liberation. It's a very strict, austere path. The Mayavadi, Shankaracharya has taught that path too. He's taught the same path. But the thing is that in Shankaracharya's philosophy is this seed. Shankaracharya himself is not offender, but the consequences of following that philosophy is that one becomes an offender against Krishna. And as soon as one does that, then there's no hope.
Takže je to velice přísná cesta odříkání a je taky možný s ní dosáhnout osvobození, ale Shankaracharya sám nedělal urážky, ale v jeho filozofii je semínko těch urážek a ten, kdo následuje tuhle filozofii, tak sám stane Mayavadi, nemůže do osvobození dostat.
I've heard that the Mayavadis they often engage in some kind of, you know, devotional service for a short period of time to help them attain this impersonal Brahman.
Jsem slyšel, že v rámci svého postupu se Mayavadi taky zaměstnávají nějakou krátkou dobu oddané službě, aby dosáhli toho neosobního osvobození a tím dostávají zase milost.
Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that because the process of Sankirtan, Nam Sankirtan is so powerful, that if a Mayavadi chants Hare Krishna mantra, even in his Mayavadi conception, then he will be liberated by attaining the impersonal state.
Mayavadin bude zpívat Hare Krishna se svým mayavadským pojetím, tak může dosáhnout osvobození neosobní.
Because the holy name of the Lord is the Lord himself. So by chanting Hare Krishna, they establish contact with the Lord.
Svatý jméno Pána je Pán samotný, a když zpívají Hare Krishna, tak s ním zase ustanovují vztah.
But because they're offensive, then they can only, the Lord only shows his impersonal aspect to them. Anything else? Oh, yes.
Se stalo to příjemným a pokorným podání služby. A jak se zbavit rutiny, co je nebezpečné, aby jsme se nestali rutinovaní s tím,
how to become sincere and humble in devotional service, and how to get rid of routine, not to come to the routine.
Yes. Routine means mechanically following a schedule, mechanically carrying out the duties that is expected of a person.
Rutina znamená mechanicky dodržovat rozvrh a vykonávat mechanické povinnosti, které člověk má.
Mechanical means that one's mind is not inquiring, constantly inquiring, where is Krishna? How to understand Krishna in terms of this service that I'm doing?
Dělat to mechanicky znamená neptat se, kde je Krishna, a jak můžu s touhle službou pochopit Krishna.
This process of devotional service is the ultimate answer to the question, who am I, why am I here?
A proces dané služby je konečná odpověď na otázky, kdo jsem a proč jsem tady.
These are the questions of Vedanta philosophy. Vedanta philosophy is called Brahma Jignyasa. The inquiry or Brahma Mimamsa. Inquiry into Brahman, inquiry into the absolute truth.
Vedantská filozofie se nazývá Brahma Mimamsa, otázky na absolutní pravdu.
So bhakti is the ultimate answer to this inquiry.
Bhakti je konečná odpověď na tyhle otázky.
So when we take up devotional service, our mind, our intelligence should be alive with inquiry into the absolute.
Když začneme vykonávat odanou službu, tak naše mysl a inteligence by se měly živě ptát na absolutní pravdu.
Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita says, Tadvidi, if you want this knowledge of the Absolute, pranipatena, then one should seek out spiritual master, offer obeisances to him, pariprashnena, put questions to him, savior, and render service.
Krishna říká v Bhagavad Gita, když chceš poznávat tuhle absolutní pravdu, tak musíš přijít k duchovním učiteli a klást mu otázky a poskytovat službu.
If we stop inquiring, you see, we start to take everything for granted and stop this inquiry, then we will become dull and mechanical.
Když se přestaneme ptát, když začneme pokládat všechno, že už je vyřešené, všechno je jasné, tak zhloupneme a budeme jenom mechanicky vykonávat svoje věci.
We will become sleepwalkers.
Budeme spící chodci.
Like that condition sometimes people, while they're still asleep, they arise from bed and they start to walk around like this and do things.
Někdy lidi vstávají z postele ještě, když spí, chodí jako náměstíčný.
So one who is not inquiring, where is Krishna? You see, in the course of his activities of service, he should be thinking, how is this activity connected to Krishna? How can I understand Krishna? When he reads Srila Prabhupada's books, he should be trying to draw out a deeper and deeper understanding of Krishna. Srila Prabhupada said, as we mentioned in the lecture, Krishna says he's the taste of water. So Prabhupada said, a devotee, even when he's drinking water, should be thinking, how is this Krishna? There should be a constant subject matter on our mind, how to understand Krishna.
Takže když nevidíme Krishnu ve svých činnostech, tak máme pořád hledat a ptát se, kde je Krishna, a při čtení Prabhupádových knížek snažit se vytáhnout z toho pochopení, kdo je Krishna, kde je Krishna. Říká Prabhupád ve výkladu, když oddaný pije vodu, tak i tady si myslí, a kde je v té vodě, jak to, že tam je Krishna.
So as soon as that stops, then we become sleepwalkers.
A jakmile tohle skončí, tak se z nás stanou náměsíční.
Doing everything with a sleeping brain.
Všechno budeme dělat se spícím mozkem.
And then, yes, devotional service will appear to us to be mechanical.
Potom se nám bude zdát oddaná služba jako něco mechanického.
And therefore not satisfying.
Nebude nám to dávat uspokojení.
And therefore we will start the other process. Atato maya jignasa. Inquiry into maya.
Začneme s tím procesem, začneme se ptát na maya.
Was there another question?
Yes. Já bych se zeptal ještě na jednu otázku ohledně původu Srimad Bhagavatam. Slyšel jsem různý verze na to, kdo zapsal současnou podobu v knihách. Jestli to byl Srila Vyasadeva nebo žáci Srimad
Bhagavatam. One more question about the origin of Srimad Bhagavatam. There are different versions about who wrote down this version, this Srimad Bhagavatam, whether Vyasadeva or disciples of Sutta Goswami.
Yeah, Bhagavatam, all Vedic literature, was written down under the direction of Vyasadeva, Srila Vyasadeva. Doesn't necessarily mean that Vyasadeva personally wrote everything down.
Všechna vědecká literatura byla sepsaná podle pokynů Vyasadeva, ale neznamená to, že on sám všechno zapsal osobně.
But he is called the compiler.
Se nazývá sestavitel.
So, just like when one is compiling something, he may appoint different persons. You type this into the computer, you type that into the computer. But at the end, he checks it and he puts it all together. So therefore, as we say before each class, Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Chaivandarutam Devam Sarasvatam Vyasam. Vyasa. He is the author.
Říkáme před každou lekcí verš, kde se vzdává úcta Devam Sarasvatam Vyasam a Vyasa je jako autor.
He is the compiler of this Bhagavad Purana.
On je sestavitel tohle Bhagavad Purana.
Any other questions? Yes?
There is in this verse about turning the face from Krishna. And often karmis and these friends are asking in devotees also have this point which they think it's a big point of our philosophy is how can we turn face from Krishna when we are actually enjoying this full bliss and knowledge. And this point of falling down, actually, because Srila Prabhupada in few places in Srimad Bhagavatam said that you cannot fall down from Vaikuntha, but then again there is a fall down. So it seems to be like a contradiction in this point. Yes, jsem se ptal, jako častá otázka, kterou kladou přátelé Krišny a podobně taky, jak se padá z duchovního světa, a to je velká jako nejasnost. Protože na některých místech Šrila Prabhupada píše v knížkách, že z Vaikunty se nedá spadnout, a na druhém místě zase prakticky vidíme některé pády, které se staly opravdu. To je v souvislosti s tím veršem, že jsme odvrátili svoji tvář od Krišny.
Well, one point is that this concerns a change of consciousness, an absolute change of consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore it is very difficult to understand. Because, just consider, Shastra says that we are eternally united with Krishna. Krishna is in the heart. From Krishna's side, the relationship is intact. Shastra says, Bhagavatam says, this material energy, this material manifestation, is also Krishna. So, even in material activities, we're only relating to Krishna.
Mm-hmm.
So, you see, in this way, the living entity has not fallen down. In this, you know, this phrase "fallen down" gives the idea that once he was up there, then. But what we're talking about is a change of consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
And this is very difficult to understand. As much as it is very difficult to understand how one similar expression falls asleep. We use this expression, I don't know if you have it in Czech language, but fall asleep.
Poklesnout v angličtině je spadnout dolů a usnout v angličtině je spadnout do spánku.
This expression is referring again to a change of consciousness.
To zase se vztahuje na změnu vědomí.
When one falls asleep, he remains the same person, he remains in the same place.
Když člověk spadne do spánku, pořád je to stejná osoba na stejném místě.
But his consciousness changes completely.
Jeho vědomí se úplně mění.
It shifts into another dimension.
Přesouvá se do jiných rozměrů.
Yeah. And in that dimension, he forgets his waking state. He forgets, he will even forget who he is. He becomes someone else in his dream.
V těch rozměrech jiných člověk zapomíná na svoje postavení, zapomíná, kdo je, stává se někým jiným.
The dreaming state is another world, and it's endless. There's so many activities going on there.
Změní je jiný svět, který je nekonečný, a je spousta jiných různých činností.
Mm-hmm. So when you try to consider that state of transition, just like last night, everybody in this room fell asleep. But if you try to now remember how that happened, how precisely, you won't be able to understand it.
Budete snažit vzpomenout si na tenhle přechod, jak se to stalo, když všichni, když jsme tady byli včera, tak jsme večer usnuli, ale jak přesně k tomu došlo, to nikdo nebude vědět.
Mm-hmm. So, if we can't understand that change of consciousness, how are we going to understand the change of consciousness from service to Krishna to this material consciousness?
chápeme tuhle změnu vědomí, jak můžeme pochopit změnu vědomí od služby Krišnovi do hmotného vědomí.
So that's the first point. It's not easy to understand this.
To je první bod, že to není snadný pochopit.
And then, as I was indicating in the lecture, you see, to be a follower of the Lord, or to be the Lord's part and parcel, which we all are, means to participate in the Leela of Krishna, because that's what Krishna does. He enjoys Leela.
Potom, jak jsem se zmínil v přednášce, všichni jsme nedílné části, následovníci Pána, a zapojujeme se do jeho líly, do jeho zábavy.
So it's a fact that nobody falls down from Vaikuntha, because in that Leela, that possibility is not there. The Vaikuntha Leela is not the Leela of the living entity falling down, but the Leela of manifestation of this material world. That's the Leela where the living entity can fall down. All these Leelas are going on simultaneously.
Všechny zábavy probíhají zároveň.
See, it's hard to understand. It's a fact that nobody falls down from Vaikuntha Leela.
Nikdo nepoklesá z Vaikuntha Leely, je skutečnost.
But we fall down in this, the Leela of manifestation of the material world.
A my poklesáme v Leele, co se týče projevení hmotného světa.
These Leelas go on simultaneously.
Tyhle Leely probíhají zároveň.
So our position is that we follow the Lord in whatever he's doing.
Naše pozice je, že následujeme Pána ve všem, co dělá.
So the living entities also are there in this Leela of cosmic manifestation, but not all living entities who are participating in that are falling down.
Živé bytosti jsou i tady v té Leele projevení hmotného vesmíru, ale ne všechny z nich poklesávají.
Narada Muni comes to this material world, but he doesn't fall down.
Narada Muni přichází do hmotného světa, ale nepoklesá.
Because he comes to participate in the Lord's Leela. That is his intention.
Protože přichází proto, aby se účastnil Pánovy Leely.
He's fixed in devotion.
A je upnutý v oddanosti.
But the nature of this Leela, this nature is so, there's this illusory aspect. It's the Leela of the display of the material energy. So the nature of this Leela is that it's attractive to those who are not so firmly situated in devotion to the Lord. Pure devotion to the Lord is ultimately voluntary. People ask if we were once situated in the spiritual world, or we were once with Krishna, then how could we fall down? You see, it is, again, it is not mechanical. It's not that there is no individuality in relationship with Krishna. Rather, the relationship with Krishna is the proper, it's the proper expression of individuality. It's the proper exercise of free will. But there is also the possibility of improper exercise. So if that possibility is there, then it will come out in this Leela. In the manifestation of the material world. Those parts and parcels of Krishna who are not, as I said, they're not firmly they're not so firmly dedicated to the devotional service of the Lord, they will find the material manifestation attractive.
Jsem říkal, ty nedílné části, které nejsou tak pevně připouzané, odevzdané, oddané služby Pánu, tak pro ty bude ten hmotný projekt přitažlivý.
And as soon as they are attracted to it, they are absorbed by it.
A jakmile jsou k tomu přitažení, tak je to pohltí.
And material existence begins.
A začíná hmotná existence.
So I have to stop this class here. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.